There is first a reality beyond mobility, apart from mobility that we experience all the time. There is a reality which is immobile, of which we are not normally aware. To discover the immobile in the mobile is the first task. Second is to discover that that immobile remains even in spite of mobility is a second discovery. Tad ejati, tad na ejati. That was in the Ishopanishad. That was the discovery. It moves, it does not move. Moves not. So to discover the immobile behind the mobility is the first discovery. To discover the immobility in spite of mobility is a second discovery. That which remains constantly mobile, yet mobile, he is the real immortal. Real immortality is achieved when immobility remains in spite of mobility. That is the real meaning of immortality, amritam. So the first discovery that is to be made is this. The greatest experience through karma that we have to obtain ultimately is the knowledge of this. If you can get the knowledge of this reality, which is immobile, behind mobility, and which is immobile in spite of mobility, the discovery of this is the first mission accomplished when we do this. But this you cannot do unless certain conditions are fulfilled, even in the body, life and mind. Even while in the body, in the embodied condition, you have to realize it. We already knew that immobility and mobility when we were first assigned this task. But we were told that while embodied, you have to realize it. It's a task given to us. That even while you are embodied in this body, you have to realize what is immobility and what is mobility. That is why the Upanishad says, Iha. In the Kela Upanishad, there is even a stronger term used, and says that if you realize it while in the body, it is well with you. But if you don't, vinashtihi, then it is perdition for you. So it is even a stronger statement that while in the body, you have to attain to this realization of immortality. But as I said, even to realize this in the embodied condition, you have to fulfill certain conditions. You have to develop your body, life and mind to such an extent that at least your mind can become at once immobile and mobile simultaneously. If your mind cannot become immobile, at least, then you can't experience that immobility. That is the reason why in all yoga we are told, quiet your mind. The reason is that is a basic condition. Quiet your mind means make it immobile. If you can absolutely silence the mind, quiet the mind, if you can achieve that condition, then you can reflect the immobility which is above, and you can experience it while embodied, while in the body. So this is the one condition that has been laid down, and that is why all yogic kriyas, whatever yoga you do, ultimately you are asked to arrive at a point where your mind can be stable, if not completely silent, absolutely stable. Just as Bhagavad Gita speaks of sthita pragya, one whose pragya becomes sthita, completely still, stable, fixed, unshaking. Now to reach this condition of the mind requires a lot of development of the mind itself. Now if the children are told right from the beginning that whatever studies you make, the experience that you have to gain is how to develop mind in such a way that it can become stable. The real experience is this. Through all the studies, if you are able to arrive at a point where mind can become stable, then you have derived the greatest experience. You may learn one science or you may learn 100 sciences. From the point of view of the development of the goal, what is important is this. The essential experience is this. How you can make your mind stable. So to learn why mind remains unstable and how mind can become stable, this is the one of the first things to be learned, and mind has to reach that point of development, then this knowledge can be obtained. To how to shape the mind, it requires the work of an artisan. Therefore a good teacher is one who so trains the mind of the child that the mind of the child becomes more and more stable. If you leave the mind, let us say, in a state of doubt, without answering a question, then the mind cannot become stable. Therefore, if you can give the right knowledge and the true knowledge, then the mind becomes quiet. So a good teacher is one who provides answer to the mind in such a way that the mind receives the knowledge truly. When the mind truly understands, giving information is one thing, but to make mind understand is quite another. I might repeat a formula 100 times, but until the child understands the formula, his mind is not fixed. It will constantly repeat the formula, but it doesn't understand. It will go round and round. But once the understanding takes place, there is real stability. Mind has understood, it falls quiet. There may be other curiosities again. Again, for that you have to do the same thing. Therefore, a good teacher is one who rapidly goes through a process of questions and answers in such a way that on a large number of questions the knowledge is so given, the mind becomes so illumined that it afterwards falls at rest. That's the first thing to be done, the first fashioning. But even this cannot be done very successfully so long as there is a riot of our vital. Our vital being is in a real state of riot. It is full of desires. And desires are floating about like microbes in water, constantly fleeting about, without any stability at all. To make vital being stable is a very difficult task. You can make mind stable more easily, but to make the vital being stable is much more difficult. So that is another thing which also has to be done. The vital has to be so fashioned, and there also the vital can be fashioned properly if the vital is made able to undertake courageous actions. This is one of the secrets of fashioning the vital. All vital is a movement towards action. And the vital does not get rest until a courageous action is performed. Till that time it goes on fleeting all the time. But if you give a task which is requires a tremendous courage, and once that task is done, the vital is greatly satisfied. It falls at rest. That is why in a good education you should provide to the children great activities in which courage is required. Great effort is required. When great effort is put forth, then it gives a great quietude afterwards. And then there is a long process in which we are not going now because we are not dealing with education just now. Similarly with regard to the body. The body is constantly fleeting. As I said, our cells are constantly being modified, constantly being changed. We are constantly dying, constantly being reborn. Therefore, to make the body as stable as possible, as strong as possible, as healthy as possible, and arrive at a point where in spite of this constant mobility, the individuality of the body is not lost. And that is the real secret. If you remember the very first starting point of our adventure, it was to manifest totality in the embodied individuality. So totality and individuality are to be combined together. Therefore the condition of immortality is the realization of totality first, and then the manifestation of it in the individuality. Therefore the individuality must be retained. Now, how to retain the individuality? The retention of individuality is done by the knowledge of the individual. Just as we knew that mobility and immobility, the immobile and the mobile, similarly we have to know what is our true individuality, what is our true specificity, what is my special function. And how do I know my special function? I know my special function by knowing my true nature, my real movement, in what direction I automatically move. Swabhava, that is why in the Gita there is a great emphasis given on Swabhava and Swadharma. If you find out your Swadharma, if you find out your Swabhava, then your individuality is sustained. So now to conclude the whole thing, immortality means first the discovery of the immobile, the discovery of the immobile even in the mobility. In terms of the Gita, that is called the discovery of the Purushottama. Purushottama is Kshara and Akshara at the same time in the language of the Gita. It is Kshara, it is mobile. It is Akshara, it is immobile. So the discovery of the Purushottama is the first discovery of immortality, and is the first step, the essential step, without which nothing else is possible. That's the first step. Second is the discovery of the individuality. Thirdly, or simultaneously, development of body, life and mind in such a way that they become immobile even when they are mobile. They translate the immobility and mobility of the Purushottama.